It says, please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 8, or verse 12. Actually, verse 8. Chapter 30, verse 8. As last week we saw the beginning of the prophecy that applies to our day, that's written 2,600 years ago. The time of Jacob's trouble that is soon to be fulfilled. We see the lead up to it. Today we're going to see part two of Jacob's trouble and the next chapter that gets into Jacob's blessing. You know, where God promises that after the spankings, there's going to be a time at the second coming of Jesus where God is going to restore the relationship with the Jews. And so still in Jacob's trouble here in chapter 30, verse 8. For it, this is from last week, and just a review of the last verses that lead into where we're going to go. For it shall come to pass in that day, the day of Jacob's trouble, the day of God's discipline upon the Jews, that's very near future to us, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his foreigners' yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds, foreigners shall no more enslave them. It's beginning to be fulfilled. Were the Jews relatively enslaved until they had a homeland? Yeah, and that's one of the things that Benjamin Netanyahu said today in his address to the House, is he goes, we've had a saying for a long time, never again. You know, that never again are we going to be enslaved by the world, sent into concentration camps, burned in the ovens, and all this other stuff. Never again is that going to happen. And then he said, and again is now. If they don't win this, then it is going to happen again. That's what he was saying. If we don't win this war, if they get their way, again did happen. So never again means we're not going to let them just kill us. And that's being fulfilled. God is not going to let them be completely enslaved again. They're going to be deceived into being under the Antichrist, thinking he's their Messiah for a while, but they're going to remain a country, but it's going to come at a very high cost for the Jews, as he had already said, the time of Jacob's trouble. But verse 9 of chapter 30, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So we jump from he's going to have a time of Jacob's trouble. Then I'm going to keep the foreigners from ever messing with you again. And I'm going to give you King David, you know, is going to be sitting on the throne ruling over you. When's that going to happen? When King David, descendant Jesus, the Messiah, comes and rules. So he's already starting to get into the promises. But you will end up, the survivors of the tribulation period, the Jewish survivors of the tribulation period, are going to weep and wail when they see Jesus come back. And Jesus is going to set up his throne in Israel, and the Jews are going to be gathered from all the nations of the world by his angels to bring into Israel. There's going to be the judgment of the sheep and the goats to decide which Gentiles get to come into the millennial reign. And then Jesus will be sitting on the throne as king, whom God is raising up. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. While you're 2,000 years scattered, I'm going to keep you alive as a people. You know, so this is a near and far, you know. So I'm not going to, when you got scattered, because the people 600 years after Jeremiah's reading this, they're getting kicked out of Israel and scattered through the nations of the world. Some Jews are always living in Israel during those 2,000 years, as Benjamin Netanyahu made a point of in his speech today. There's always been Jews living in Israel, but sparsely. And then they started coming back in droves in the 1800s and 1900s. But I'm going to save you from afar, and I'm going to save your land to be for you. And that is something that is being fulfilled, has prevented the land of Israel from being captivated by Muslim Arab occupiers, hasn't he? In 1948, they declared themselves a nation. What did the Arabs want to do? Wipe out all the Jews in Israel. Did that happen? Kick them out of Israel? No. And then they did it again. You know, so that was 1948, and then the 50s they tried. 67, they almost tried. Israel preempted them. 73, they tried. 82, they tried. They keep on trying, but they don't. Why? Because of this promise. from God that has miraculously been fulfilled by God. And it's astounding to see. God is promising the Jews that the slogan "from the river to the sea" will never happen. And by all rights, it should happen. There's more of them than there are Jews. So by just natural thinking, someday it's actually going to be "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free of Jews," because they're going to kill them all. But it's not going to happen, according to the prophetic word of God from 2,600 years ago. Jacob shall return, done and continuing. Jacob, Israel, shall return to the land. It's been happening, and it's continuing to happen. Have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. At the second coming, that'll be. Keep coming into land. I'm going to get you to come. And then someday you're going to live in peace. "For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished." Happening now and will escalate near the immediate future. And we emphasized last week, all the nations of the world are going to go away, replaced by the 10-nation global empire of the Antichrist. But the only nation that's still going to survive kind of outside of that is Israel. And God promised that right here. So now that's where we ended with last week. Now verse 12, "For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable. Your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause that you may be bound up." "You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one." Why did God have to be, why did he have to give the Jews such a spanking during the coming time of Jacob's trouble, where two-thirds of the Jews are going to die? "Because for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased." So your sin is very severe, incurable, apart from judgment. And conditions during the lead-up to the tribulation, we can see all that happened. The discipline is going to be nation after nation after nation is going to abandon Israel. And that's what it says. All your lovers have forgotten you. As we were watching the house, most of that, a very high percentage of the house is clapping pro-Israel today during Benjamin Netanyahu's speech. But you could hear the boos that were there. And as I was watching it and preparing for this study, I was thinking, there's a day that's not going to happen. And Benjamin Netanyahu made a big deal about how the fact, really, it is. It's just you and us. If not for us being together, for us to be able to win. Is that true? Us being American, Israel? Not really. Because the America part's going to go away. And it could go away so easy, Kamala gets in there, Trump gets assassinated, whatever else, all these other things that could happen in a day. It could happen in a day. And so really, Benjamin Netanyahu could have said, if he was really being religious, and you could tell he was being political to the whole scene, to the whole different politics around there. But if he were to be just purely biblical, purely spiritual, he would have said, we enjoy your help. But, that could go away someday. And Iran, our enemy, is really hating you. He did say this. Iran's hating America because America is helping them is helping Israel to keep Iran from spreading the Islamic global caliph to take over the world, starting in the Middle East. But right now you're helping us. We appreciate that. But we know from our prophets that someday all the nations of the world are going to be against us. And you might think, well, then what are you going to do? Then we're going to cry out on the name of God, Yahweh. Because those same prophets have said, as the world gets all against us, that God will curse those that are against us, and he'll bless those that are for us. All the blessings are going to go away. Everybody's going to get cursed. And God is still going to keep his promises. Even if we don't have your F-35s, we don't have your 500-pound bombs, we don't have this, we don't have that. When we're so desperate that we see Gog Magog's armies of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people amassing on the hills of Israel, getting ready to come from the Golan Heights and wipe out every single Jew, and we have no armament. We don't have planes at the time. We don't have tanks and planes and other things, because I think they get disarmed in the coming global government, you know, formation as a result of the wars, that they are going to be using their tanks and planes and bombs. Israel's going to say, we're dead. And God is going to destroy the armies of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39. And then the Jews are going to go, wow. Then Netanyahu won't be afraid to say, you know what, we don't really care if you're with us or not, because we've got the biggest God in the universe. He's the only God in the universe. He created the heavens and the earth, and he happens to be able to part Red Seas, and he can torch anybody that comes against us. And we don't need the secret weapons that America and Israel have developed. He didn't say that, because he would have been run out of town. But that's the truth. That's the truth from reading the truth of the Word of God tonight. And God's going to let them. You're going to lose all your buddies that you playing adultery with, taking their culture, embracing the homosexual agenda, even in your own country, and all this stuff. You're doing all that, but they're going to leave you. And when they leave you, what are you going to do? Rely on God. Verse 15. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable. Why are you crying about the effects of chemotherapy? I mean, you know, basically God is saying, you have cancer of sin and rebellion against me so bad that I'm going to have to do the real treatment on you. Why are you crying about Jacob's trouble days that are coming? There's severe cancer in you, and it's going to be tough to go through chemotherapy. False gods. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu mentioned how the 3,000 Hamas guys, a lot of them coming in on those little paragliders and stuff, just start slaughtering everybody and dragging them away. And to the music festival, it wasn't a music festival. It was an Eastern religion orgy, drug crazed thing going on by thousands of people that came from all over the world to a New Age festival, an ungodly New Age festival. False gods, a music festival, trusting in nations instead of God, trusting tanks instead of God, glorifying democracy, which he did in his lecture, glorifying democracy instead of obedience to the King of Kings, to the God of the universe, the one who set apart his chosen people to be his witness people unto him and to his laws. Verse 15, continuing, because of the multitude of your iniquities, because of your sins have increased, I have done these things to you. Written 2,600 years ago, about to come true. We're going to be seeing severe suffering in Israel. They're going to be driven to the point of calling upon the name of God. They're going to have no other hope in the days that lie ahead. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. Who do you think should read that? Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Russia, all the nations of the world that vote in the United Nations against Israel, all the International Criminal Court that just declared that Israel is, needs to be kicked out, the Jews need to be kicked out of the land of Israel. They're criminal by being in their country. All these people, so God shifts. He goes, you have to be disciplined, and these people are going to be disciplining you, but I'm going to deal with them. In the end, they're all going to be destroyed. For I will restore health to you, and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. No one likes the Jews. No one wants the Jews to live in Israel. And so he's going to deal with them. God says, you will survive cancer treatment. You are not going to die. As bad as it seems, you're going to think you're dying. You know, my wife is an oncology nurse, and she tells me how horribly sick, and many of you have known people that have, and you get to the point where I know I need this, but I feel like it's going to kill me. And that's what God is really saying here. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling place. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. It's being fulfilled. The Jews are back. Jerusalem is being rebuilt. Israel, the Jews are in charge of Jerusalem, kind of. Someday it's going to be more. And that was another thing that Benjamin Netanyahu said today that there was some booing to, and that is that Israel is going to forever be an undivided capital of Jerusalem's going to be the undivided capital of Israel. A simple fact, you know, that should be recognized by all the world as something that makes total sense considering their history and the history of the city. You know, you don't dig down in the archaeological layers and you find, you know, that what you find is if you get to the bottom, to the very, very bottom of 4,000 plus years ago, you get to the Jebusites, a Canaanite tribe that God said had to be eliminated from the land because they were so perverted in all their immorality and their bestiality and their homosexuality and everything else that they were doing and killing innocent people, slaughtering their babies and everything. And he says, I want you Jews to get into the land of Canaan and I want you to completely wipe it out because it's so wicked it needs to be wiped out. And if you do what they do, I'll wipe you out. You know, not totally wipe you out, but you'll be disciplined. Well, that's exactly what the Jews did. The Jews started practicing the things that the Canaanites did, and God had to discipline them and kick them out of the land in 70 AD, at the time that Jeremiah is talking about. Then, out of them shall proceed thanksgivings and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. The Jewish population right now in Israel is 7.2 million Jews out of 15.7 worldwide. And I don't know what the greatest population was during Solomon's day. You know, that was probably close to the greatest population, but maybe it was close to that. But there's a lot of Jews over there. And God promised that there would be a lot of Jews in the land of Israel. And the pogroms, you know, the anti-Semitism in all the rest of the world is causing a lot of Jews that are living in these other countries to say, you know what, I'm going to go to Israel. Even though I know that Iran and everybody wants to send thousands of missiles into Israel and it might not be a good place to be, yet it's worse to be here where I know that my neighbor could knife me tomorrow, you know, walking home from work. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Who should read that? Everybody. America should read this. If the administration changes, do you realize that if the administration changes, what does this mean? I will punish all who oppose them. If we go on record as a country for the first time and say we are completely opposed to Israel, we do think they are the genocidal maniacs, and from the river to the sea, they need to be, the Jews need to move. And we don't care where they move, they just need to move and stop all this turmoil. As soon as that happens, this verse promises us great trouble. And earlier, it goes back to the time, you know, 2000 BC with Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. It was kind of interesting. How could that happen? Could it happen just by God's divine intervention in our country? Yeah. How many of you saw the video of Yellowstone having a hiccup yesterday? I think it was yesterday, day before. You know, how many of you been to Yellowstone? Walked on the little boardwalk, see all the little friendly geysers that are really nice. God was so merciful because these people were walking on the little boardwalk and all of a sudden just it was, and huge rocks were just, it was just one quick explosion. And at first they're going, oh, kind of cool. And then wait a second. They start running. And as far as I know, nobody got hurt. And there were rocks falling that if they would have fallen on anybody's head, and it was just a big burp. So if you have plans to go to Yellowstone, you might want to check with God whether or not that's a good time to go. Because, and it is the biggest super volcano on the planet that's underneath there. There's a cauldron. I really looked into this. The area is bulging. The lake level, the Yellowstone Lake, it's like a plate. If you have the water line of a plate, and if you tip it, the the shoreline changes. So people are going, wow, the lake's going down. Well, it's not, but if you go to the other side of the lake, the lake's going up. And so they go, oh. So then they got the surveyors out there, oh, the land is bulging. So what that means is that the magma that is trapped underneath the whole Yellowstone Park area is, the pressure of that magma is exceeding the strength of the crust above it. Not enough to blow it yet, but enough to make it change, to make it bulge up, to yield it. You know, in metal, you yield metal and it stretches until it fractures. So, and then you have the yield strength of metal. You know when it's going to fracture. Well, what's the yield strength of all the crust above Yellowstone? Only God knows. But if the pressure increases or the strength decreases because it keeps faulting, which every earthquake around there is a fault that's breaking the strength of the crust, and then someday the whole lid blows off that thing. And they've studied that if the lid blows off that thing, pretty much we're saved by the Cascade Mountain Range. Everything from Yellowstone to the Cascades is dead. All the Mississippi Valley is dead. There's going to be chaos. And America would be dead when that happened. I don't know if it's going to happen. I just know that I don't want to do things to make God mad. And so if he says, I'm warning you, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told you, don't mess with my Jews. If you mess with my Jews, I'm going to mess with you. That's what this verse says. I learned from my dad. I don't like spankings, you know. Verse 21, Jeremiah 30:21. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor, the nobles of Israel, shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. It'll be a Jew. The person over the restored nation of Israel will be a Jew. Is that fulfilled? Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? He's almost like he's talking to a future prime minister of Israel. Some people think it's Netanyahu because his name. What's Benjamin mean? What's the name? Benjamin, what does that mean? Son of my right hand. So, son of my right hand. Netanyahu means God has given. So he's saying there's going to be a guy that's going to be from you, that's going to rule over you. All, in fact, Ezekiel makes the emphasis over all of you, not just Israel and Judah. You know, Israel has a king, Judah has a king. He's going to rule over all the restored Israel. And I'm giving him to you because he's going to approach me. Son of my right hand that God has given is what Benjamin Netanyahu means. Now, I'm not saying he'll be the prime minister into the future. I'm just saying that God is declaring that when the Jews come back in the land in the last days in preparation for the day of Jacob's trouble, it will be their own guy that will be in charge of Israel. You shall be my people, and I will be your God, will be completely fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord God, the Lord goes forth with fury, verse 23, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. Again, speech today. How can people be out? He says there's a group outside that are protesting that we exist basically as a country. They're wicked. And they want to kill us all. And how can people be for it? How can people be supporting wickedness? He said evil. And that's exactly what God is going to come and deal with. He's going to deal with the wicked of the world. Now, how many of us deserve to be dealt with because we're wicked? All of us in the room, I'll help you. But his judgment has been placed somewhere else instead of on us. Where's that? On Jesus, who died on the cross because we put our faith on him. He's our force field. It's not like, oh, I'm going to be wicked and I got a force field Jesus. You know, I'm going to go to church and say I believe in Jesus. No, it's because we believe in Jesus. Because he died on the cross for our sins. I want to turn away from my wickedness. I want to repent. And then God sees him on us, just like Passover. Death is, this judgment against the wicked passes over us because we were washed in the blood of Jesus. And he, just like in the day of Passover in Egypt, the death angel will pass over us. But he is going to deal with the wicked. We can take great joy in that. Well, actually, probably not joy, because once again, we have to acknowledge we were wicked. But we can take satisfaction that when we're going to go to heaven, there's not going to be any wickedness there. And we grieve for the people that want to be stuck on wickedness. And we're thankful for the people that encourage us to get unstuck on wickedness, because otherwise we would be the object of God's wrath. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it. He's not going to be over with judging the wicked until he's totally done with it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. And here we are. We're seeing what's going to be happening. He's going to deal with the wickedness of the world. It's just so troubling. And who defines wickedness? Again, the leftists consider us wicked because we don't want to let them. We discourage them from slaughtering their babies. We discourage them from mutilating their children. We discourage them from these things that we know that God considers abominable and will cause their eternal demise. So we discourage them because we care for them and love them, that you need to repent of thinking that way, because that's the way Satan thinks. And Satan is leading your soul into the lake of fire. And so we want you to understand there's a God that you're going to answer to. Yeah, and that what's frustrating is even the conservative part of America isn't talking like that. They just say, we're anti-abortion or we're pro-life. Why? Well, because we are. It's not because, it's never mentioned. Have you read the history of the Jews? Have you read all the times that God told them over and over again, I'm really tired of you slaughtering your children. And I didn't tell you to do that. It didn't even come to my mind you would do that. And you're spilling innocent blood. And because you're spilling innocent blood, and as a result of killing your children, you're doing it because you're worshiping idols. And when you worship idols, you're worshiping the demons behind the idols. And when you're worshiping the demons behind the idols, the demons are inspiring you to kill your children, just like you inspired Hamas to stick them in the ovens in the kibbutzes near Gaza in Israel and turn the heat on. Satan hates you. And so why? Don't you understand what you are doing? You are repeating history. It ends the same way. You're going to see the wrath of God. And your country will see the wrath of God. That's the way it should be said. And that's what we're here for. The church is supposed to be saying it that way. Not, don't do it because we have the majority of the House and Senate to make it happen. Or because, you know, we elected a president who got 5 people on the Supreme Court that will support this idea. It should all be because God cares. Because the God that created this place has spoken to this, and he's not stuttering. He's not ambiguous. We're going to go farther, but we'll quit there tonight. We'll pick it up in chapter 31 next week. So yeah, next week, we'll finish with 31. But I hope to, one of the things I hope to instill, and I've been doing this, and also on Sunday morning, isn't it so awesome to know we know the author of a perfect book that told us things that, I mean, does it even seem like we're having to twist things to make up this little story of equating these verses to what's happening in Israel today? It's as if people today could read this and go, oh, that was a newspaper article. Where'd you get it from? It certainly wasn't the, you know, New York Times, but I mean, you know, it's alive. It's 2,600 years old, and we're living in a time that's about to fulfill this. And that's how we know we serve the true God. And we want to be right with him till he comes. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Jews. As messed up as you know they are, Lord, through the history, you chose them to be your witness people, even through cancer treatment. And your promises to them to get through cancer treatment. And that you are going to show the world that there is a God who keeps his promises to his chosen people. And there's going to be many people that come to you as a result when they realize that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God who so loved us, he sent Jesus, the Jesus who promised to save both Jew and Gentile, that would come to him who were heavy laden, and he would give us rest. And God, we sit here in this room knowing that we were heavy laden in our sins and we deserved the judgment, your judgment, just like everybody else. But we called upon the name of you, the Lord, to save us. And you willingly, with your grace and your mercy and your love towards us, saved us from the judgment we deserve. And we just pray that you would help us to minister to those that are still lost, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship God in this song.
Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter unto me, and a strong tower from the enemy. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I.
And if we wake up to an overwhelming situation someday, what are we going to do? Lead me to the rock that's higher than that. How do we do that? Oh, Lord Jesus, you're here. You own me. You love me. And we just got to remember, he's there. Just cuddle him spiritually and say, this is crazy, but it's okay with you. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.